Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is December 17th. It's Wednesday night. This is Michael Collins Piper coming to you from Washington, D.C., crime capital, not only of the United States, it's crime capital of the world. We need to throw more shoes at our politicians here in this city. We need to throw shoes at politicians all over the United States. I say that more than in sarcasm, and I assume you know what I'm referring to, the famous shoe-throwing incident in Iraq where an Iraqi journalist, a Middle Eastern journalist, in any case, of Arabic descent, threw some shoes at the President of the United States. If you don't know, you probably do know, but if you don't know, that is a sign of utter disrespect. It was not an assassination attempt, and I haven't even heard anyone try to suggest that it was. Not even my friend, the big shot lawyer, who thinks every Arab is a potential terrorist and assassin. But in any case, you know, that is, we need to show more disrespect to the politicians in this country, ladies and gentlemen. You know why? Because they show disrespect to us. The list of their disrespects, to coin a misuse of a phrase or something like that, the list of their disrespects is endless. I mean, we could go on and on, folks. We could go on and on. Give you an example. Here in Washington, D.C., you know, we had a major Supreme Court ruling that struck down D.C.'s decades-old ban on handgun possession. Well, now the city council, they're a bunch of liberals. Liberals of the white liberals of the worst sort, plus a few blacks who, I don't know how liberal they really are, but these D.C. liberals, now their new legislation would require all gun owners to receive 5 hours of safety training and to register their firearms every 3 years. In addition, they would have to undergo a criminal background check every 6 years. Now, frankly, folks, I am a big supporter of the Second Amendment in its purest form and it's in every form. Now, in one sense, I would say that, oh well, these restrictions aren't that bad. But in the other sense, ladies and gentlemen, I look at the reality of the situation. If I wanted to get an illegal firearm and go out and commit a crime, I guarantee you, I could walk hardly more than 100 feet or so from my house, and I live in a pretty good neighborhood. I could collar any number of street people who are in the local parks or standing out in front of the local grocery store and say, hey, I want me a gun. And for a very small investment, I could have myself an illegal handgun. You know, the problem is not with the people who go and register their guns. The problem of people not knowing how to use their guns. The problem is the fact of the people who really commit the crimes are the people who don't register the guns and who really don't give a damn about how to use the guns in the first place. And most people I know who would go out and buy a gun, if they didn't know how to use it, they would take time to get some training to use it. So, okay, the point is this. All these liberals, almost used a nasty term to describe the liberals, I'll just call them these limp-wristed, panty-waist, do-good liberals who think that gun control legislation is the do-all and the end-all to stopping crime and violence. They just don't know what the hell they're talking about. And for the record, I don't even own any handguns or long arms of any kind. And the only reason I don't, folks, is because, you know what? I'd probably use them. If I caught one of Abe Foxman's people trying to break into my apartment, you know, which is the kind of stuff the Anti-Defamation League does do, break into people's apartments and, go through their paperwork. If I caught one of Abe Foxman's agents trying to get into my apartment, I'd shoot him or her on the spot. No questions asked. We're going to a break, folks.
K Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is Michael Collins Piper here, talking about the insanity of gun control. And if you really want to have some fun with your liberal Democratic friends, the ones that really like to cry about how rotten guns are, remind them the Democratic National Chairman Howard Dean had a perfect record as far as the National Rifle Association is concerned. And as governor of Vermont, was very popular among hunters and sportsmen. That just drives libs crazy. Liberals, as George Wallace used to call them, L-I-B-R-U-L-S, liberals. That just drives the liberals crazy. I've seen some of my liberal friends squirm when I point out that Howard Dean, the quote-unquote liberal and progressive governor of Vermont, now Democratic National Chairman, was popular among hunters and sportsmen, and was popular with the National Rifle Association. But as I pointed out, digressing or maybe backtracking, that, you know, that's one of the reasons why I don't keep a gun around, because I'd be inclined to use it. I haven't fired a firearm in quite a while. I can't even remember the last time I did. I always enjoyed it when I did it. Oh, I'm sure the ADL could make something out of that, Piper admits, and quote-unquote enjoying the use of firearms. But as I say, one of the reasons I would be inclined not to have one is because I would be tempted to use it if indeed I felt, you know, that, well, and I would be justified in using it. But like I say, if I caught the Anti-Defamation League agents involved in their intrigues and misdeeds in my apartment, I would shoot, no questions asked. Now, there, that'd give the Anti-Defamation League something to cry about, saying Piper said he would shoot representatives of Jewish organizations. That's how they would play that, you know, because the Anti-Defamation League, these people are such hypocrites. This is called a segue, ladies and gentlemen, a segue into something else regarding the Anti-Defamation League. Just today, posted on the internet website of American Free Press at AmericanFreePress.net is a very interesting article by my AFP and RBN colleague, Mark Glenn, who, as you know, or as you should know, co-hosts the Liberty Hour with USS Liberty survivor Phil Turney here on Saturdays. Mark has a story posted on our website, AmericanFreePress.net, that says U.S. media ignores call by mainstream Jewish newspaper to murder innocent Palestinians. Now, remember, folks, this is a mainstream Jewish newspaper. It's called the Five Towns Jewish Times. I believe it's in New York, but I'm not sure about that. Well, they had an article in there entitled The Appropriate Response to Islamic Terror. And a guy with the unlikely name of Lawrence Kulak, K-U-L-A-K, said that the final solution to the Muslim problem is to, quote, kill them all and let God sort them out. He in a newspaper called for the deliberate killing of innocent Muslim women and children as a form of collective punishment. Now, that's a war crime by international law. This form of collective punishment would be imposed on theirs who would attack the apple of God's eye, Israel, or any of those fighting her wars for her. Now, this, of course, as Mark Glenn writes, is a case study in typical Zionist hatred of Gentiles. Now, you know, the thing about it is, if Muslims said things like this, they're often alleged to have said things like this, the national press would be up in arms saying, Muslim newspaper kills for mass killing of Gentiles or this or that or such and such. Well, you can read Mark's article, very interesting article here, which points it out. But you know what's interesting, as Mark pointed out, that the Anti-Defamation League and the American mass media failed, utterly failed to condemn this kind of vile, vicious hatred. And then after that article was posted on American Free Press today, guess what? The Anti-Defamation League, which was clearly monitoring either Mark's website, CrescentandCross.com, or AmericanFreePress.net, quickly jumped into action, and in a letter dated December 17th, posted on their website, a letter which they just rushed off today to the Five Towns Jewish Times, they said that, oh, we're shocked by Lawrence Kulak suggesting that Jews should kill innocent Muslims to counter Islamic terrorism. Well, the ADL may be shocked by that, ladies and gentlemen. I think more so is the fact that they were shocked by the fact that Mark Glenn dared to point out the fact that they hadn't been shocked enough to respond when it first happened. These people at the ADL are utter hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen. You know, over the years, they made a great deal of effort to try to, quote-unquote, distance themselves from the Jewish Defense League, headed by my late friend, quote-unquote, Irv Rubin, who once threatened my life. But, you know, it's kind of funny. The late Robert I. Friedman, an iconoclastic Jewish journalist who wrote for the Village Voice, wrote a book about the Jewish Defense League, and he pointed out that the Jewish Defense League, number one, was actually funded in part by Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad, and number two, received its support from the Mossad. And number three, he also pointed out there were many highly respected Jewish American people who were funding this terrorist organization, the Jewish Defense League. And yet, of course, the fact is the Anti-Defamation League itself is an adjunct of Israel's intelligence service, the Mossad. This has been proven in one form or another over the years. So, in other words, they were playing a good cop, bad cop kind of game here for the benefit of the unsuspecting goyim, as they call the other, that is, the Gentiles, that is, all of us who are not part of the tribe that they themselves say are the chosen people of God, a superior group of people. Yeah, these folks are hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen, and you know that's why I say that the purpose of this program, and I think that this is what makes this program unique. If there's anything that makes this program, this particular broadcast that I carry on, using that term loosely here, every night of the week, is that we do not spend our time attempting to say, oh, we're not anti-Semitic. You know, so many people go out of their way, trip over themselves, and they and their guests will trip over themselves to say, oh, no, we're not anti-Semitic, we're not anti-this, we're not anti-that. On this program, we freely discuss what is generally known as anti-Semitism. We don't talk about the symptoms. We don't see, this is what the groups like the ADL and the American Jewish Congress and the mass media like to talk about. They like to talk about the symptoms of anti-Semitism when somebody makes a remark that is considered quote-unquote anti-Semitic or anti-Judaic or anti-Jewish. You know, let's not get into the semantic game here. Semantic game, I said, not Semitic. We don't get into that here, folks. We try to analyze from a historic standpoint, from a sociological standpoint, dare I say even from a scientific standpoint, from every possible standpoint, we try to look at the cause of anti-Semitism, the cause of anti-Jewish feeling. We try to pin it down and say, oh, this is why this group of people or that group of people have made these remarks or done these things. We don't worry about the why someone drew a swastika, as they call it, a swastika on a synagogue, you know. Or we don't worry about why some college student carved a swastika into a bathroom wall, or we don't worry about this kind of stuff. We try to get down at the root problems and look at it from the bigger picture. You know, we look at these things like the phenomenon of this thievery in Wall Street. You know, and you see that all of these big companies that are implicated in this, yeah, folks, they're run by Jewish people, people who say that they're God's chosen people, that they're superior, they have better genetics, they have better family values, they have better this, they have better that. I've cited their publications here in this program, ladies and gentlemen. It's not something that I've made up. No. We try to look at this and say, well, why is it that all of a sudden you find all these Jewish people involved in all this crazy stuff? And then we look at the wars that we've gotten involved in, and we say, hey, wait a minute. Was the Iraq War really about America's interests, or was it because powerful Jewish people here in the United States, not all Jewish people, of course, not all Jewish people, as I pointed out time again on this program, some of my dearest friends, some of my closest associates politically, people I've worked with, have been some of the most outspoken and earliest critics of Zionism and the State of Israel and of the Jewish lobby in this country. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Me, Mike Piper. I'm an old friend of Dr. Alfred Lilienthal, the earliest, most prominent Jewish critic of Israel, going back to 1948. Although I never knew him myself, the late Ben Friedman was an old friend of an associate of a number of friends of mine, including my longtime employer, Willis Cardo. Yeah, one degree of separation from Mike Piper and Ben Friedman. Yeah, Jack Bernstein. I knew Jack Bernstein. I helped pay for his funeral, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. Yeah, I knew Jack Bernstein. You know, the list goes on and on, ladies and gentlemen. The late Haviv Shieber, So I know a little bit about the Jews who are anti-Zionist. That's why I don't take it too seriously when I hear people out there saying, oh, Mike Piper blames it all on the Jews, when not all Jews are Zionists and not all Zionists are Jews. Well, no, Mike Piper has known some of the most outspoken anti-Zionist Jews. Mark Lane, my good friend, the famed attorney, the author of Rush to Judgment, the premier book on the JFK assassination. Yes, Mark Lane, Jewish, anti-Zionist Jew. Here, ladies and gentlemen, we deal with the causes, not the symptoms, of anti-Jewish attitudes, and we're not afraid to talk about those causes, because to solve the problem of anti-Semitism, which so many people say they want to do, including callers to this network and hosts on this network, if they want to solve the problem, they've got to get to the They've got to get to the root of the
Attention.
Problem.
An important product from hempusa.org, microplant powder, will change your life by removing all types of positive toxins, such as heavy metals, parasites, bacteria, viruses, and fungus from the digestive tract and stomach wall so you can absorb nutrients. Microplant powder is 89% silica and packed with a negative charge that attracts positive toxins from the blood, organs, spine, and brain. This product has the ability to rebuild cartilage and bone, which allows synovial fluid to return to the joints. Silica is a precursor to calcium, meaning the body turns silica into calcium and is great for the heart. There is no better time than now to have microplant powder on your shelf or in your storage shelter. And with an unlimited shelf life, you can store it anywhere. Call 908-691-2608 or visit hempusa.org. It's a great way to change your life. So call 908-691-2608 or visit us at hempusa.org today.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Michael Collins Piper here, returning to you on this 17th of December. Incidentally, my intended trip abroad next week will not be due to a series of circumstances beyond the control myself and also the organizers of the conference I was supposed to attend. It's a certain relief in a way because I'm not really much in a mood for travel at this time, so consequently I will be broadcasting, I guess, next week, except for probably Christmas night and possibly Christmas Eve. But in any case, we will play it by ear. The conference I was supposed to attend in the Middle East was scheduled in one country, then switched to another, and now it's been scaled back. In any case, I'll be here on good old American soil. And yes, this is good old soil here in this country. Unfortunately, though, this soil has been soiled by so many people who don't have this country's interests at heart. Interesting, this Mr. Bernie Madoff, this Bernie the Madman Madoff, who ripped off $50 billion, including from some highly distinguished Jewish people and Jewish organizations, plus apparently a lot of other nice people as well who allowed their funds to be invested with this guy, including what, according to the Washington Post, the umbrella group that provides funds to almost every Jewish nonprofit group in the Washington region, they may have lost more than $10 million. And I understand there are rumblings that the United States taxpayers, the quote-unquote government, will be stepping in to take care of the matter. Ladies and gentlemen, this wouldn't surprise me if the U.S. government stepped in a case like this, considering the people who lost their money. And if it should happen, I've talked to different people. Some people think it's possible. Some people say, oh, it could never happen. It would just be over the top. If it does happen, if the United States taxpayers step in to save all of these Jewish organizations, and that's a sign that we just need to pick up the pitchforks and the weapons, illegal and legal, and just say to hell with it all, because we know that our government is not in our hands anymore. This is a developing story, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Glenn and Willis Cardo and I chat about it earlier today in a conference call. It'll be very interesting to see what happened. You know, the Washington Post reports today, though, there's a commentary by a Jewish gentleman, and I'm quoting him favorably for those of you who say that Piper blames everything on the Jews. Well, I'm quoting a Jewish man favorably, saying this. This is Mr. Meyerson, Harold Meyerson. No, this is not Christopher Belin's Khazar associate, Myers. This is Harold Meyerson. It says, Republicans complain that labor costs at the big three automakers are out of line with those at the non-union transplant factories in the South, factories that Southern governors have subsidized with billions of taxpayers' dollars. But the United Auto Workers has already agreed to concessions, bringing its members' wages to near Southern levels, and labor costs already comprise less than 10% of the cost of a new car. On Wall Street, employee compensation at the seven largest financial firms in 2007 constituted 60% of the firm's expenses, yet reducing overall employee compensation wasn't an issue in the financial bailout. In a narrow sense, what the Republicans are proposing, this is vis-a-vis the car companies, ladies and gentlemen, would gut the benefits of roughly a million retirees. In a broad sense, they want to destroy the institution that did more than any other to raise American living standards, and they want to do it by using the power of government to lower American living standards in the middle of the most severe recession since the 1930s. The auto workers deserve better, and so does the nation they did so much to build. Now, I suppose some of you are going to say I'm a communist for agreeing with Mr. Meyerson, but I do agree with Mr. Meyerson. And I think it just goes to show you what hypocrites we have. They're ready to bail out all these powerful Jewish financial leeches on Wall Street with their gigantic multi-million dollar pay packages and benefits. Yet they're ready to screw middle-class workers. God almighty, we do need a revolution in this country, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, God, do we ever. Well, a holiday note, according to Newsweek, here at Christmas time, when we always expect the Hollywood's tendency to release its really important movies, we're getting no less than five different movies about the Nazis. Five different movies at Christmas time about the Nazis. And as Newsweek points out, and there's nothing more likely to earn an Oscar nomination than a film related to the Holocaust. Why is that? Why is that, ladies and gentlemen? Even Newsweek admits that. Am I imagining something? I'll bet I'm imagining something, ladies and gentlemen. Take this.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio-blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to libertystickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's libertystickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins Piper here. We've got a full lineup of callers, and one way or another, I'm going to get around to them in a moment. Please be patient. One interesting item about Mr. Bernard Madoff, the head of the SEC, Christopher Cox, who's a former member of Congress. The Washington Post reports that the SEC ignored credible tips about Madoff. Credible and specific allegations repeatedly brought to the attention of SEC staff. Christopher Cox now says that his agency's inspector general is going to investigate whether personal relationships between Madoff's family and SEC staff played a role in the failed oversight. Let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Anything that Christopher Cox is involved in investigating is suspect as far as I'm concerned. This is the guy who a few years ago supposedly headed some investigation. I even forget what it was about Chinese espionage in the United States. Forgive me, I'm getting old. But at the time, I had occasion to write an open letter to Christopher Cox, who was then a member of Congress, but he was also the chair of a special commission. And the fact is, Christopher Cox totally avoided anything of any substance regarding Israel's then very closely forged relationship with Red China vis-a-vis the transfer of American nuclear technology, the massive sales of arms by Israel to Red China, including the sales of arms originally produced by the United States. Christopher Cox, well, I don't want to say exactly covered it up, ladies and gentlemen, but let's just put it this way. He didn't have too much to say about it. And what little he said, if anything, as I recall, was very little indeed. In fact, if you search around in the Internet, you might find somewhere my open letter to Christopher Cox, and his last name is spelled C-O-X, Christopher Cox. Kind of funny, some years ago in California, from one of my associates out there, I learned indirectly that a local woman who was involved and meshed, entrenched in the ranks of the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, was heard to make remarks about then-Congressman Cox, implying that she had inside knowledge about Congressman Cox. In other words, that she and her associates had data about Cox that the congressman would probably rather have be kept private or unreleased to the press, or which could get him in trouble in some way. So was Congressman Cox being blackmailed by the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith? I don't know. I couldn't swear to it, ladies and gentlemen, but I found it very interesting that this ADL woman, whose name escapes me at the moment, but whose name is in my files, that this Congressman Cox, you don't put someone like him in charge of the SEC, which is a very sensitive position, unless you can be sure he'll do your dirty work or otherwise keep your dirty work under wraps. And now he's holding up his hands in horror and ordered an internal review. Well, I'm sure pleased as punch, as the late Hubert Horatio Humphrey would say. I'm pleased as punch that Christopher Cox is now going to check into this Mr. Madoff. Ah, what a bunch of hypocrites, ladies and gentlemen. What a bunch of hypocrites. I don't know what to say. Well, I don't know what to say, so I'm going to go to the phones and let you say what you have to say. We have Tom in Georgia. Tom, come on up.
Hey, Mike.
How are you, Tom?
Excellent. How are you?
All righty.
First of all, sincerely want to wish you a Merry Christmas. I would wish you a Happy Hanukkah, but for some reason, I know that you're not Jewish.
Well, I don't know. Eric Hupschmidt has implied that I am.
I hear you.
Okay.
Number two, real quick, because then I got a number three. Number two, you were talking about there's so many great topics, but the Lusitania and the munitions on there.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but the German government, of course, warned before them, a couple of days before then, that please don't go onto the ship. We're at war. Things are very tight. And the American government let these people go onto the ship. And I want to point out a very good book that I'm reading right now, which came out about 6 months ago, that points to all this and what you talked about with Churchill. Churchill, Hitler, and the Unnecessary War, which was written by Patrick J. Buchanan this
right.
past summer. It's really, honestly, it's a really excellent book. It really gets into all this stuff. And, as an aside, just to show how radical all the Jewish groups are, Patrick Buchanan never gets into how great Hitler Germany was. And he doesn't get into any of that. He just gets into factual history. Of course, they attacked him on that. And I don't even want to, get to the aside of that. But, that's the truth. You look at that. You look at what FDR did to the Japanese, freezing their accounts. And then in Pearl Harbor, we intercepted what the Japanese were doing at least 10 days and even 2 days before what was going on, sent the communications to Washington, D.C. Our government never did anything. Does anybody realize that the big two world wars, never mind the Gulf of Tonkin that we went through, my God, this is crazy, because I've woken up within the last 6 or 9 months, and this is unbelievable. It's blowing me away that we've been involved in these things, and they are basically more or less false flags from our government to get us on a particular side.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, it is. When you start, you're going through right now what I went through a long, long time ago. And
yep.
I remember, because I was always a voracious reader. And when I got really hooked on politics and I started getting my hands on everything I could and reading everything I could, and I just continued to be amazed at how all the facts stack up. And there's no question about the fact that they are facts. But, you know, here's the thing, Tom. I've been doing this now since basically about 1976, you know, reading, researching in these realms, you know.
Right.
And, you know, the damnedest thing is there is hardly a day goes by, maybe a week that goes by, that I don't learn something new, whether it's from one of the callers on this program or whether it's something I read, you know, in a newspaper or in the pages of a book, that I don't say to myself, my God, when will it ever end?
Right.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah, and you know, this is what we're up against, because, you know, we have those of us who dare to take the time to look at the truth, to look at the facts, you know, there aren't many of us when it comes right down to it. The numbers have increased as a consequence of the Internet, thank God for that. But the numbers haven't been enough thus far to affect the nation politically. And that's where the real problem lies.
I hear you. So I have my next question, because what you're talking about relies to what I've been through. I'm like 40 years old. I've been studying politics for the longest time and got out of the Republican thing about 12 years ago. But, you know, the big awakening has really happened just real recently.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, my question was, I was listening. I was having some fun yesterday. I was checking out the archives. June 3rd, you did a show. You talked about Stalin.
Mm-hmm.
And in Stalin, you were talking about, in the Patriot Movement, we have certain things that we think about Stalin, and you're like saying, basically, there are certain things that we all believe that might not necessarily believe, that don't coincide with our interpretation of the character and all that other stuff. And you know what's funny? This is actually true of your left, your right, your Jewish, your Catholic. It doesn't really matter. We all have our own myths. And you were you mentioned that part, and you mentioned a bit about McCarthy, and like the McCarthy might be a good person, or maybe, but then there was the Trotsky edge behind him, and then that Stalin had a comment, which was very interesting to me, because I'm here to call you really about Stalin, and that Stalin said something about, in 1939, that someday the world would be in fear of Zionism, and that you also had said, even beyond that, that maybe there were certain things about Stalinism, or at least about Stalin, that patriots might not want to know because it goes against what we've heard of. And you are, of course, you prefaced it by saying, I am not a Stalinist and all that other stuff. But, you know, getting back to the JFK and there's the Executive Order 1110 and that's not necessarily true, what can you tell us? Maybe that what our perceptions were about Stalin, that maybe we don't know the whole thing, or not that we need to necessarily side with him, of course, but you kind of alluded to this, and it piqued my interest.
Yeah, well,
basically,
my understanding from a lot of writers, Jewish and non-Jewish alike, who have looked back at the Stalin era, is that what happened was, Stalin came into power as part of this clique led by Lenin and Trotsky. Well, of course, Lenin died. Trotsky got kicked out of the country. And then as Stalin began to consolidate his power, he started to remove a lot of the Jewish influences, Jewish and Zionist influences in Russia. Now, there were Jews that worked for Stalin. There's no question about that. The Jews were the ones who ran the death camps under Joseph Stalin.
NKVD.
Towards the end, however, Stalin very much so began to move against Jewish influence in the Soviet Union. And what's kind of interesting is that Dr. Oleg Plotnov wrote a piece for the Barnes Review about Jewish power in the Soviet Union. And in that, he's a Russian nationalist. This guy has never been a Russian communist. He's been a Russian nationalist throughout his history, and he writes freely in Russia now. And he says very emphatically, very straightforwardly, that, in fact, Stalin was moving against Jewish power. Now, I find that interesting because I have a report here in my hand from the Jewish Telegraph Agency, which was printed in the American Examiner on July 27, 1967. It says, Joseph Stalin died 14 years ago of a rage caused when the Politburo opposed his proposal that all Russian Jews be expelled to Siberia. Well, it goes on and on and on, but then you refer to some more recent works that have been published, and they, and I, unfortunately, I have them on my shelf here, but there are books in front of them, books that by, one's by an author named Jonathan Brent, which it very emphatically concludes that Joseph Stalin was, in fact, murdered by some of his Jewish associates when he began this move against Jewish power. Bear in mind that this was all happening at the same time when the Trotskyites were rising in influence in the United States and suddenly becoming anti-Soviet. They were not anti-communist, but they were anti-Soviet. Many of these Trotskyites then in the 1950s, right immediately after the death of Joseph Stalin, many of these Trotskyites suddenly became conservatives, writing for William F. Buckley's magazine, National Review.
Right.
So this is what happened.
Wow.
It's a strange, very strange history. In my book, The Judas Goats, I talk about it at some length because it's something that so many people don't understand. And it does tie into what was happening with Joseph McCarthy. I'm pretty much of the opinion that although McCarthy really believed that he was going after, quote-unquote, the communists, what he was doing was being directed to go after, he was being directed from behind the scenes by the Trotskyites to go after certain communists whom the Trotskyites did not like, that is, the Russian communists, this kind of thing. So there's a strong body of work on this. And even back in the early 1950s, there were a number of American anti-communist writers who were willing to say this as much. They were saying that the real problem was not Soviet communism out of Moscow, but Jewish communism out of New York, funded by the international Jewish bankers. So there's a whole rich history there that a lot of people were unaware of, and a lot of people are still caught up in the idea that, well, Joseph Stalin was married to a Jewish woman. Well, even if that were the case, that doesn't preclude the very given history that it appears that he was in fact moving against Judaism and Zionism, and that dissatisfied many, many people. And that is part of the reason why the United States went from being allied with Joseph Stalin to immediately becoming his enemy almost immediately after World War II. So there's a whole history there that has some real foundation, in fact, but because of the fact that in the 1950s, a lot of these Trotskyites infiltrated the American conservative movement and began to shape the thinking of so many conservatives, people were kind of misdirected, even in those days. I hate to promote my own books, but if you read my book, The Judas Goats, you'll get a lot of the solid facts. I've kind of given you the overview here.
No, that's great.
In The Judas Goats, I go into it in some detail.
No, that's awesome. I'm starting to realize that some of the Trotskyites, and this is proven through so much of the research, goes back decades and decades and decades ago. You know, my old impression was that McCarthy picked Roy Cohn to be his pit bull lawyer, mainly because he was Jewish and he was anti-communist. And
McCarthy was told to pick Roy Cohn as his lawyer.
Right.
In fact, my late friend DeWest Hooker managed to get into a meeting in New York where basically he was told at the time, and it's been since written about, that Bernard Baruch, who was a big funder of this group called the American Jewish League Against Communism, they bragged openly to my friend Hooker that we are the ones who built up Joe McCarthy. We picked Joe McCarthy to be our man. He bought our program, and we attached Roy Cohn to him.
Yeah.
And you know, and obviously McCarthy, I think McCarthy was sincere in what he was doing.
Yeah, but I totally believe that. Totally believe that.
Yeah,
yes,
he
absolutely
didn't understand
no
the bigger picture.
Yeah, no, there's no doubt that he was anti-communist, and he might have thought having a Jew next to him might have helped him, because let's be honest, the Rosenbergs and all the other stuff, and it all seems to fit in. But the whole Trotsky thing and the Trotskyite thing, and going back to all this, going back all those decades, and the split starts to make sense. If anybody goes back and learns some of the basics about the Russian Revolution was a Jewish revolution, they were called Bolsheviks, Mensheviks, Trotskyites. They were all, for the most part, they were Jews fighting against each other to take over the country.
Hang on for the break, Tom.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to the break, ladies and gentlemen. This is Michael Collins, Pipe. Stay tuned.
Can't decide what to give your friends and family this Christmas? Why not give them the most unique gift available by helping them protect their credit card numbers and personal information from thieves? There are now millions of credit cards, debit cards, and passports in circulation that contain an RFID chip. These new cards and passports make transactions a breeze, but introduce a new threat to your personal information. These cards can be read while still in your wallet or purse. So, this Christmas, give your friends and family a pack of secure sleeves from Identity Stronghold. Our radio blocking secure sleeves block the signals needed to read the RFID chip inside their new credit cards and passports, keeping their personal data safe and secure. You can buy them on the web at www.idstronghold.com. That's www.idstronghold.com. Or call toll-free 800-610-2770. 800-610-2770. Order now and get them in time for Christmas. Go to idstronghold.com today.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Hi, this is Tommy John. I may not be pitching for the major leagues anymore, but that doesn't mean I don't like to stay active. But like you, I get those pesky joint pains that come with age. So I take GoFlex. GoFlex is the 1-2 punch to knock out pain. It has an FDA-approved cream to quickly relieve joint pain and a doctor-approved vitamin that will guard your mobility and flexibility. So if you're suffering from pains associated with arthritis or the aches that come with age, GoFlex will help you. I know firsthand what pain is like. Years ago, they did a surgery on my arm so famous that they named it after me, the Tommy John surgery. Today, I don't let joint pain slow me down, and neither should you. If you're suffering from minor aches and pains, even the kind associated with arthritis, try GoFlex, risk-free. Thanks to GoFlex, even at my age, I can still throw batting practice.
To order GoFlex risk-free, dial 800-362-5848. That's 800-362-5848. 800-362-5848.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Michael Collins, Piper here. We're wrapping up the hour. We have Tom from Georgia on. Had quite a few callers here, but I wanted to keep Tom up here because he raised a very interesting point that I've tried to drive home time and time again. And, you know, Tom, I think it's kind of interesting to remind people, here's the tip-off. If you look back in the 1950s in the studies of quote-unquote intellectual history and the studies of the histories of American anti-communism, and I'm not talking about your standard right-wing anti-communism, you will find a phenomenon that is often referred to as liberal anti-communism. Well, if you look at the people who were the leading quote-unquote liberal anti-communist thinkers, they were a bunch of Trotskyite Jews who suddenly became anti-Soviet. And bear in mind that it was in the mid-1950s that there was this fading actor in Hollywood who had a reputation of being a liberal, but who was also known as a liberal anti-communist, who later became the governor of California and president of the United States. And I'm here to tell you, and I know this is going to upset a lot of people, I think that the historical record shows that Ronald Reagan was, in fact, a Trotskyite communist who really, in some respects, never really changed his stripes. He just went along with the flow as the Trotskyite movement began its, what I like to call its, transmogrification. I like that word. That sounds like something a Jewish intellectual would say. It's transmogrification into the modern-day conservative movement, which then in itself began this unusual shift, this turning of the wheel into what we now know today as neoconservatism.
It's
an ugly history that presents a lot of people with a lot of quandaries.
It's very complex. There's a lot
Yes, it's complex, and it took me a long time to put those pieces together myself because, you know, I started off when I was 16, 17 years old. You had the Republicans and you had the liberal. You had the Republicans and you had the Democrats. You had the anti-communists and you had the liberals. But then you start looking at some of the liberals and seeing how they're merging with the conservatives, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then you start looking at the bigger history of things and you look at the financial interests and the power groups that were behind Ronald Reagan. They were working very, very closely with some of the people who were financing William F. Buckley, and then that gets back into the whole concept of liberal anti-communism, and it goes on and on and on and on, and it's not quite as red and blue as the media might want us to think.
No, it's not even close. If anybody gets into the whole Obama thing and got excited about that, you got Rahm Emanuel and all that other stuff, and Joe Biden, I am a Zionist. But anyway, for about a week or so, you got into the You got kind of deeply into the JFK thing, so hopefully maybe you can get into a little more about Stalin.
I should revisit that because, you know, the last time I talked about it, or I should say virtually every time I talk about it, I get emails from people who say, you're defending the greatest Jewish butcher in history, Joseph Stalin. That's how people want to look at it when they don't want
it. Funny?
It's easy. It's easy to say, oh, Joseph Stalin was a Jew and he was the greatest butcher in history, but then ignore all the other underlying political currents that were going on in the world. And if there's anybody who ever really believes that the United States was fighting communism, all they have to do is keep in mind the fact that the Chase Manhattan Bank operated in the Soviet Union from 1925 onward, all during the Cold War.
Yeah, do another show on this. It'll be great.
All right, Tom, thank you for a very interesting call. I appreciate your insights and your recognition that things aren't always black and white or blue and red or liberal and conservative or Democrat or Republican.
Keep blowing our minds, and Merry Christmas, Michael.
All right,
thank you.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Apologies to all those callers who were waiting patiently, but I rambled on as I have a tendency to do.
Hello.